This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 10th October 2025. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 9th of October 2025. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Diana Brooks.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are Bar End Depot Site Plans Are in the Balance, Date Set to Light Up Christmas, and Jane Austen Statue Update. So we'll start with the story behind the headline.
Right, the Bar End Depot Site Plans Are in the Balance. Preferred Bidder Pulls Out of New Development Build. The future of a development site in Winchester is uncertain after the previous preferred bidder dropped out of the running. Winchester City Council, WCC Cabinet, will decide on whether to approve an immediate remarketing of the Bar End depot site in Bar End on Tuesday, October the 14th. This comes after the previous preferred bidder, retirement property builder McCarthy and Stone, withdrew from the process due to conditions in the retirement, living and care home market. As previously reported, the company has proposed constructing 56 senior living units and a 72-bed care home and 38 affordable housing apartments, as well as 4,300 square feet convenience store. The Chronicle approached McCarthy and Stone regarding this withdrawal, but the company declined to comment. Remarketing the site will invite formal bids for a planning policy complaint scheme to include housing, a convenience store, and an element of care. According to a WCC officer's report, this is the same mix of uses that were included in the previous marketing. City Council officers have recommended that the Cabinet approve the remarketing of the Bar End depot site to commence in late October. The officer's report says, as per the previous marketing exercise, bidders will be asked to explain their commitment to climate change. This is a land disposal, so limited environmental conditions can be imposed upon a purchaser beyond those covered by statute and planning policy. The site currently comprises a range of industrial and commercial buildings and bare concrete hard standing with no green space. Landscaping and green buffer zones in accordance with the Bar End design framework will significantly improve the site's biodiversity. Redevelopment of the site will bring back a vacant site into beneficial use and create new homes, a convenience store, and employment opportunities. The provision of a convenience store will benefit the local community. New residents will be encouraged to use the adjoining WSLP. There will be greater permeability through the site to the WSLP. The site's natural environment and biodiversity will be significantly enhanced from its current hard-surfaced landscape. The depot site has been largely unused for several years, outside of occasional use by the Hampshire Cultural Trust. and the temporary uses by construction contractors. The site was due to be marketed in 2021, but this was pushed back due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which this officer's report says caused a 16-month hiatus in demand for the development sites, while increased costs of construction meant that several schemes became unviable at the time. The city's council cabinet will decide on re-marketing the site at its meeting on Tuesday, October the 14th.
Date set to light up Christmas. The hunt is on for this year's Christmas heroes. Winchester Bid has launched its annual search for local stars to switch on the city's festive lights at the Winchester Christmas Light Switch On 2025, taking place on November the 13th. Nominees can be individuals or organisations who have made a positive impact on the city or community. Sarah Davis, Winchester Bid manager, said, "Once again, we are excited to be coordinating the Christmas Light Switch On event. A big thank you to the event sponsor, Dutton Gregory Solicitors. This year, we will be remembering our friend George Hatt, our amazing local hero from 2024, who made such an impact before tragically losing his life this year. On the night, we will be encouraging the public to get involved with the celebrations on social media too, so we can repost and share the fun. The Switch On ceremony will take place in the Broadway, outside the Guild Hall, from 4:30 p.m. with the big moment scheduled just before 6:30 p.m. Last year's hero, George, was chosen after receiving an overwhelming number of votes. He sadly passed away earlier this year from brain cancer. One of George's final wishes was to bring joy to others by helping switch on the Christmas lights. His family continues to raise funds for charities in his memory, describing his life as filled with love, laughter and impact. The event will be hosted by Heart Radio's Johnny Mia and will feature a night of festive fun. This includes a giant inflatable snow globe, Winchester Round Table's Santa Sleigh, and live performances from the Pilgrim School Chamber Choir, Hairstock Primary School Choir, Osborne School's Rubik's Cube, Winchester Rock Choir, Theatre Royal Winchester, Winchester A Cappella, Integrate Dance, Love Soul Choir, Diva Academy, and New York City Breaking. Dutton Gregory Solicitors will sponsor this year's event.
Jane Austen statue update. Work is underway to erect the statue of Jane Austen behind Winchester Cathedral. The memorial statue, dedicated to the beloved novelist, will be placed in the close. Workmen have been seen working on the plinth that the statue will be placed on, with the area taped off. As previously reported, the statue, made by artist Martin Jennings, will be revealed following a special service on Thursday, October the 16th. The Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire will unveil it in the cathedral's inner close at approximately 3 p.m. Winchester Cathedral is organising the occasion to mark the 250th anniversary of Austen's birth and will include a performance from the actors of the BBC's 1995 adaptation of the novel Pride and Prejudice. Notable figures such as Joanna David, Susanna Harker and Adrian Lucas will deliver a dramatic reading from the book. Cultural historian Professor Michael Wheeler will also delve into Jane Austen's enduring influence, and there will be new tributes to Austen's literary accomplishments from hymn writer Rosalind Brown. The service from 2 p.m. to 2:50 p.m. will be ticketed due to the anticipated large attendance. However, It will also be live streamed on YouTube. Martin Jennings, creator of the statue, is famed for his recent portrait of King Charles for the Royal Mint. He has recently been chosen to create a sculpture of Queen Elizabeth II for the UK's National Memorial at St James's Park.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Bell, Dorothy Ellen Bell, at Westacre Nursing Home on the 26th of September, aged 85. Carswell, Jean Carswell, on the 25th of September, aged 92. We don't normally comment on the obituaries, but some of our listeners may remember that Jean was a much-loved member of volunteer with the Talking Newspaper, both as an editor and as a reader. So she will be much missed. Dean, Peter Harry Dean, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 1st of October, age 97. Hawker, Anne Russell, at home on the 18th of September, aged 86. Maynard, Helena Eola, at Maynard, at home on the 3rd of September, aged 102. McCabe, Josie McCabe, at Techfield House, Winchester, on the 5th of October, aged 86. Robertson, Evelyn Joan Robinson, at Otterbourne Grange, Winchester, on the 13th of September, aged 94. Underhill, Austin Underhill, on the 15th of September, aged 90. And Windsor Aubrey, Philip Windsor Aubrey, on the 28th of October, aged 92. And now we have Christian comment.
And it's this week by Nigel Hemming, and he titles it A Life of Prayer. If you don't hear the core questions of identity answered by God at the start of each day, you will spend the rest of that day trying to get others to answer them for you. This sage advice for pastors resonated with me immediately. In the busyness of helping and leading others, I was finding it hard to invest in my own personal relationship with God, and noticing how easy and potentially dangerous it was to think about my own faith in purely professional terms. Around the same time, I was offered the chance to start meeting with a spiritual director. And although I didn't really know what that meant, I thought it would be helpful as I felt stuck in a rut, and it wouldn't be an understatement to say that this relationship has changed my life over the past few years. I've always been very much a doer. I love people, I like to be busy, and I'd never had much time for the contemplative side of Christian faith. In our monthly conversations, she listened patiently and gently reflected back what she heard. I began to sense an invitation from God to pause, to just be quiet, and rather than impress him with my doing, to simply sit with him in my being. At one time, the thought of sitting quietly for more than 5 minutes would have freaked me out. What would I say? How would I stay focused? For years, I'd struggled to dial down the noise and calm the restlessness that filled my heart and mind. Yet, in his gentleness and kindness, God met with me and continues to show up with his peace, reassurance, and affirmation. As St. Augustine said, true prayer is nothing but love. I'm still not very good at total silence, and I often use props to help switch off and engage. There's a particular chair I sit in, some ambient music I play, and sometimes I light a candle and use a simple set prayer to get started. Turning off my phone is essential. This doesn't happen every day, but I now find such value in simply making time to be quiet with God that I honestly cannot go for more than 2 or 3 days without starting to feel desperate. King David wrote of this desire in Psalm 27. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. I'm keen to avoid the scenario described above, where I would try to get others to meet and need which only God can meet for me. And I want to lead by example and to serve others only out of the overflow of faith, love, and hope in my own heart. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, no man is greater than his prayer life. And that's Christian comment from Nigel Hemming, who is senior pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church.
Next, we have letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or by writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23. 8AL, that's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We've got 9 letters this week, no particular theme, on a variety of subjects. So we'll starting off now with the first letter.
This first letter is from Shaster Tahir at a crossroads. Feeling like a stranger at home. The other week I watched anti-immigration marches unfold across the UK. To many, it was just politics. To me, it cut deeper. I was born here, raised here. I served this country as a civil servant, and yet my Britishness feels conditional, always questioned. My dad, who came here as a young immigrant, taught us gratitude for the opportunity, safety and religious freedom Britain gave us. That pride made me confident I could be both British and Muslim. We lived it in simple ways, cheering England in football tournaments, hanging flags, hoping football would finally come home. Perhaps I was a naive child. I never questioned whether I belonged. Now, as an adult, the reality feels different. One evening on my way home from work, I drove past a migrant hotel where riots had erupted. A part of me wanted to stop to tell the angry crowd my story, to remind them the people inside were human too. But I kept driving, because for the first time in my life, I felt unsafe in the UK. I've worn the hijab since I was 15. But now it can feel like a target anger projected before anyone knows me. Accent, job, passport, none of it should matter. My faith has always taught me love for all, hatred for none. Compassion, patience and peace guided me to integrate, contribute, and to see my difference as a strength. This is the paradox of being both British and Muslim today. We are visible in our contributions as doctors, teachers, shopkeepers, civil servants, yet invisible in the national story of who belongs. We are woven into Britain's fabric, but treated as a patch to be unpicked. Britain is at a crossroads. Only courage, compassion, and honest conversation can make it feel like home again for everyone. That's from Shaista Tahir Aldershot.
This letter, Laughingstock, is by Simon Lever. Now I understand why Union flag hunting was removed this week from the High Street. It was high up and a potential danger to cyclists. How many flags fly in the city? One on the City Council HQ, and perhaps a couple more. This ruling is putting, to put it mildly, ludicrous. Most European countries fly their flags with pride. Should Hampshire County Council implement such a politically correct, not safety ruling, the County Council will be viewed as a laughingstock. Perhaps a solution would be for St George's Dragon to make an appearance. By Simon Lever, Laughingstock, Juniper Close, Badgers Farm.
And this letter is from Dr. Harry Mycock and headed City View in Progressive Rock Song. It was great to see an assembly of the progressive rock band Big Big Train fans photographed at the viewpoint on St Giles's Hill and reported in the Hampshire Chronicle on October the 2nd. It could mark a record number of people photographed on the platform. St Giles's Hill is associated with so much history of the city, and to celebrate a piece of history, the band Songs Winchester from St Giles's Hill, recorded just 13 years ago, is quite something. If you aren't familiar with the song, it's worth checking out. The lyrics capture the view of Winchester from St Giles's Hill most eloquently. I can't see there being a celebration laid on that the cathedral next year in recognition of 60 years since the release of Winchester Cathedral, the pop hit of 1966 by the new vaudeville band. I do take my hat off to the composers, though, as I still meet people who mention this song the minute that I say I'm from Winchester. The often covered, in brackets, including Sinatra no less, and simple lyrics and tune have stayed with many. And that's from Dr. Harry Mycock, and he's the chair of Friends of St. Giles's Hill Park, Quarry Road, Winchester.
Home Search, writes Ralph Poynter. Alsford Men's Shed continues with their quest for a new home. At the January meeting of the Town Council, aided by many supporters of both the Men's Shed and the Alsford Pigs Association, the group managed to get agreement from new Alsford Town Council. And afterwards in the letter, that's just referred to as NATC. To set up a working party to examine the possibilities of accommodating them on public land at Arlbury Park. Since that initial meeting, the two sides have discussed many issues. However, the group concluded that NATC had a negative vibe and were not serious with regards to accommodating them. This feeling goes back to 2017, when NATC declined their initial request on the basis that the proposed building would, quote, spoil the view from the car park, unquote. Similar feeble excuses have been made during these latest discussions. We can't accommodate both the Men's Shed and the Pigs, is one of them. The Soakaway will be compromised is another, and the Birch Tree must be retained. Well, with regard to the latter, I suggest replacement of the birch tree with a smaller ornamental tree incorporated in a colourful herbaceous border. That would be an option. All this despite the NATC claim that they focus on local issues and work with local organisations to support the well-being of everyone in New Alresford. A statement that many council taxpayers would dispute. Seemingly, in this instance, rather than taking the view, how can we help them, it's how can we avoid helping them? Nevertheless, some progress has been made. NATC have now agreed to accommodate both parties, and a revised building plan has been submitted by the group. However, at the latest NATC meeting, one councillor disliked the new layout on the grounds that a litter problem will arise as a result of a narrow space between the proposed building and a boundary fence. Another councillor, being perfectly honest, stated that whilst she fully supported the men's shed, Albury Park was the wrong place for it. She hasn't even given any idea as to what is the right place. One other condition, which has been laid down, apparently as part of the planning requirement, is that the men's shed must undertake a public consultation to prove that the community agree to public land being used for such a purpose. I can't recall the same condition being placed on the tennis club. As a consequence, a public consultation will take place on Thursday, October the 9th, which of course was yesterday as I read this, in the Watercress room of the Swan Hotel between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The Men's Shed and also Pigs Association look forward to your support at this consultation. Please come. That's from Ralph Pointer, Nursery Road, Alresford.
This letter, Help Others, is written by Mark Rowe. I write to you about time. Either we have too much of it, not enough, or none of it. Time is, in my view, it's a precious resource, as we all should use it wisely. If a person can spare just 5 minutes of time just to chat to anyone, then it unlocks how those people are feeling. Some people, like myself, are on their own and spend roughly about 80% of time alone. I love it when someone asks how I am, and I do the same for them, as if this opens up a conversation and I no longer feel alone. Yes, I wish I could look back in time and change things, but this would not make the person I am today. Some might agree or not. That's their choice. I encourage people to get out into the world, live their lives built on friendships and relationships, as in time things get better. Remember, time heals as well, and most importantly, brings people together. Let's help each other and to make this world in time a better place for all, even you who read this, Time to Help Yourselves and Others. And this is by Mark Rowe from Taplin's Close.
And this is a letter from Ted Hart, which he entitles Pot Luck. Having recently returned from the daily pothole slalom around the city, I was pleased to see that the local council has decided to implement my recent suggestion to twin Winchester with road closed. They are advertising it everywhere. On the pothole front, the situation is getting out of hand, especially on the pit roundabout. The councils of both Winchester and Hampshire are forever pleading poverty. However, I read in the Chronicle that the intention is to spend a $2.7 million on the vanity project that is carbon emission reduction on the Ark. Firstly, it is not going to make an iota of difference to saving the planet. And secondly, it is money that is desperately needed in other areas. The problem with councils is that it's not their own money they're spending, so they lack the prudence you or I would have on household budget. How much did they spend on the group of experts, question mark? Close to six figures, I would think. If not, do tell us. As with the present government, councils seem to have people in charge of the finances who have no understanding of business. Take some independent advice and stop this total waste of our money now. And that's from Ted Hart, Maytree Close, Winchester.
This letter from is from Katie Hamilton, who is the managing director of New Leaf Together CIC. It's entitled Facing Barriers. I am writing on behalf of New Leaf Together CIC, a community interest company based in Winchester that supports children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND, to access the community, develop life skills, and build independence in a safe and nurturing environment. We currently run inclusive sessions and holiday clubs that are tailored to the needs of SEND participants, offering sensory play, creative activities, and opportunities for social connection in spaces where young people feel safe, understood, and celebrated. Many of the families we support face barriers to accessing mainstream services, and our work helps bridge that gap with warmth, creativity, and consistency. We are now looking to expand our provision by launching day services, a natural next step that would allow us to offer more structured, meaningful experiences throughout the week. Crucially, this would also provide much-needed respite for parents and carers, many of whom carry significant responsibilities and rarely have access to reliable, SEND-aware support. Our vision is to create a space where young people with SEND can engage in enriching experiences that support emotional well-being, practical skill building, and independence experiences they would otherwise struggle to access. Specifically, we hope to establish an outdoor sensory area designed for messy play, relaxation, and reflection, a small plot for growing and tending plants and vegetables, offering hands-on learning about nature and food cultivation, and a flexible space to host inclusive activities that nurture confidence, resilience, and independence tailored to the needs of SEND participants. To make this viable, the site would need to have readily available access to mains utilities or the possibility of easily connecting them. Ideally, we are looking for a long-term arrangement that allows us to build consistency and stability for the young people and families we support, many of whom rely on routine and predictability to thrive. If you already have a building or structure on your land that might be suitable, even with some adaptation, we'd be very open to exploring how it could work. Our aim is to create a safe, inclusive environment, and we're happy to be flexible in how we achieve that, whether it's a disused outbuilding, a corner of a barn, or a space that could be repurposed. We'd love to chat about the possibilities. As a not-for-profit organisation, we would need to discuss a suitable payment or lease arrangement. We would, of course, wish to make a fair contribution, but if you were open to accepting a token or reduced payment in recognition of the community benefit, this would help us to make the project sustainable. Your support would directly enable young people with SEND to access opportunities for growth and independence that are often out of reach. We also want to reassure you that we will take full responsibility for maintaining the space to a high standard and ensuring it remains well cared for throughout our use. I would be very happy to meet with you in person or arrange a phone call to discuss how this could work in practice, and to answer any questions you might have. Your support would make a meaningful difference in the lives of local young people and their families. Thank you for taking the time to consider this opportunity. I look forward to hearing from you. And you can write to Katie Hamilton, Managing Director, New Leaf Together CIC, which we'll get there, or you can email her if you have access to email. You email manager@newleaftogether.org. I'll say that once more. manager@newleaftogether.org.
This letter, entitled Praise, is written by Eileen Berry. Why am I now going to praise our current mayor? Let me tell you. In the first half of the year of his mayoralty, he has done incredibly well. More to the point, he cares. More to the point, he took his mayoralty seriously and honestly. I have supported everything that I can for his fundraising charities, but the truth of the matter is, he is an incredibly friendly, supportive mayor. He has been so inclusive in all the events. I did say once that my instructions when I was mayor to the secretaries was, don't choose what you think is the best, you choose them all, doesn't matter. What is or where it is, don't cherry pick, and that has served me well. As I see it, without being told the sensitivity of this mayor shows in his inclusiveness and his friendliness to everybody, he has another 6 months to do. We know that. You know there's an old saying, you throw a pebble into the water, it hits the spot, but it also makes ripples. He has hit the spot here in Winchester, which gives him the ripples to other places as far as he wants to go. Yes, I do favour this gentleman and his good wife, because I have seen them. He really does believe in what he does. For me, that's the most important thing, inclusivity. What would I have thought of coming up with the idea of an evening of Bollywood with hits of entertainment along with a buffet? The point of this letter is to thank them for arranging so many different types of social gatherings. As I have seen him in his traditional Indian dress, which was stunning, it was such a pleasant thing to experience. This letter again, entitled Praise, written by Eileen Berry, Prior's Dean Road, Hairstock.
And this letter, entitled All Welcome, is from Bev Parker. Our first open bowls session for ladies was held at Riverside Indoor Bowling Club on Monday, October the 6th. Four bowls coaches guided 15 ladies through a trial session of indoor bowls. Then it was time for tea, cakes, and a chat. On Saturday, October the 11th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we are running an open bowls session. Everyone is welcome. And this is from Bev Parker, Riverside Indoor Bowling Club, Gordon Road, Winchester.
That concludes the letters, and next we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment,
which is entitled this week, Let's Be Imaginative with Bar End Plans. The Bar End depot site has sat largely unused for 7 years, a derelict blot on Winchester's landscape. It's time we stopped waiting and started acting. The recent withdrawal of McCarthy and Stone from their proposed retirement development is disappointing, but it shouldn't stall progress. In fact, it should galvanise us to push harder for redevelopment. Anything would be better than the current wasteland. Even retirement properties, which some may view as uninspiring, would bring life, homes and services to the area. The council's officer report makes a compelling case. Redevelopment would transform a concrete eyesore into a vibrant, biodiverse space. The proposed mix of housing, a convenience store and care provision would not only benefit residents, but also create jobs and improve access to the neighbouring Winchester Sport and Leisure Park. Landscaping and green buffer zones would enhance biodiversity, replacing hard standing with greenery and community value. But why stop at the basics? Let's be bold. Winchester deserves innovative thinking. Perhaps an ice skating rink, a cultural hub, or a multi-use community space. The site's proximity to the leisure park makes it ideal for complementary facilities that serve all ages and interests. Delays caused by COVID and market uncertainty have already cost us time. With construction costs stabilising and demand returning, we must seize the moment. Remarketing the site now with a clear vision and community input could finally unlock its potential. Let's not allow another 7 years to pass with this site languishing. The Bar End Depot should be a symbol of regeneration, not stagnation. Winchester deserves better, and the time to act is now.
And next we have first person.
This is called Dream On by Khalid Aziz. It is a curious British rite of passage that when a young person announces that they are saving up for a deposit, what they often mean is that they are saving face while quietly hoping the bank of mum and dad will cough up. In Hampshire, as elsewhere, this private family lender is the interest-free, flexible and infinitely more generous than any bank. Without parental bailouts, the ladder wouldn't just be pulled up, it would be sawn off, and of course not all parents have the means to help out. This week we've had new political proposals on housing. The Conservatives have called for a simpler path to ownership for first-time buyers, more starter homes, relaxed mortgage products, stamp duty tweaks. Labour, meanwhile, talks of government-backed low deposit schemes and cracking down on developers who hoard land like medieval barons. Their mantra is make house buying simple. Quite right, but one suspects this version of simplicity still involves reams of forms, a thicket of means tests, and the nagging suspicion that unless your parents can stump up, you won't get very far. So will any of this work, or is it just another case of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? Here's the rub. No amount of affordable housing pledges changes the arithmetic of wages and keeping pace with house prices. In Winchester, the price of a modest terrace property can easily swallow 7 or 8 times a young buyer's annual salary. In Andover, where prices are lower, the gap is still an abyss. Developers talk glibly of affordable units, but affordable to whom? Certainly not easily to the nurse in the Basingstoke Hospital, the trainee teacher in Alsford, or the shop worker in Eastleigh. So young people are told to save harder, work longer, cut down on those whites and Netflix. Not bad ideas in themselves, but you don't bridge a gap of £50,000 deposit gap by skipping cappuccinos. You bridge it with inheritance or with mum and dad remortgaging their own house. In other words, housing policy, Tory or Labour, continues to rely not on the state or the market, but in the bank accounts of the middle-aged and middle class. This is the elephant in the room no politician wants to confront. Conservatives dare not admit that home ownership has become a hereditary privilege, passed down like silver teaspoons. Labour dare not admit that their interventions might inflate prices further, helping the already well-off more than the truly locked out. we've yet to hear what reform are proposing. So, the caravan raisi rolls on. One side talks of freedom and aspiration. The other promises fairness and reform. Both sound plausible, but draw applause lines. Both are greeted with headlines about hope for young buyers. And yet, on the ground, the same story repeats. Couples in their 30s still renting, their savings devoured by rising rents, their chances of buying dependent not on their own graft, but on whether their parents own a house with enough equity to tap into. The post-war dream of a property-owning society has been replaced by a modern lottery, the winning ticket being birth into a family that can afford to help. Those without such luck are left circling the rental market like tired hamsters, watching their wages disappear into someone else's mortgage repayments. Meanwhile, the green fields of Hampshire are still being covered with housing largely unaffordable to first-time buyers. We can keep promising to simplicity the process as though house buying problems revolve around filling in the wrong forms rather than the small matter of needing tens of thousands of pounds. Until our political masters tackle the root cause, chronic undersupply, the policies will be cosmetic, the speeches hollow. From now, the real Chancellor of the Exchequer for first-time buyers is not Rachel Reeves or Mel Stride, but Mum and Dad. And for those without the private treasury, the slogan might as well read, "Keep renting, keep waiting, keep dreaming." This by Khalid Alcise.
Next, a few what's on items. On Thursday and Friday, the 16th and 17th of October at the Theatre Royal, The Mikado will be performed by Charles Court Opera. On Saturday, the 18th of October at the United Church, there's a series of piano recitals from midday onwards. On Monday, the 20th of October at the Theatre Royal, there will be The Ripper Files, a theatrical whodunit based on events in Whitechapel in 1888. From Saturday the 25th of October to Sunday the 2nd of November, there will be family Halloween events on both the Watercress Line and at Marwold Zoo. On Friday the 31st of October at Winchester Cathedral, there will be a concert entitled Miserere by the St Martin's Voices, presented by Zeb Soames of Classic FM. On Sunday the 2nd of November at the Theatre Royal, there will be a comedy evening with Paul McCaffrey supporting Near Me House and Jack's Place. On Saturday the 8th of November, Southern Voices will be performing at St Paul's Church. And also on Saturday the 8th of November, the Winchester Roundtable Bonfire and Fireworks event. On Sunday the 9th of November at the Theatre Royal, performance of something called Dear Lol, a true love story told through wartime letters. And then, as previously mentioned, on Thursday the 13th of November, it's the Christmas lights switch on. Sunrise at the moment is around about 7:30 in the morning and sunset around about 6:30 p.m. in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And the number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now continue with further news items.
And this little item is headed Wizard Week on track. The Watercress Line will be transformed into a Halloween haunt for Wizard Week. The Weird and Wonderful Week runs from October the 25th to November the 2nd, excluding October the 27th, with a timetable bursting with fun activities for families. The popular heritage railway will be transformed into a Halloween haunt with freaky fun activities to keep your youngsters entertained during the half-term holiday. The Watercress Line's enchanting activities will include a ride on the Wizard Express steam train, a chance to walk in Harry Potter's footsteps on the famous railway footbridge, a slime laboratory at Ropley, a circus skills workshop in the Alsford goods shed, and magic shows, fancy dress competitions, and a selfie station and creepy crafts. The activities will run from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day, with unlimited train travel included in the ticket price. Rebecca Daly, CEO of the Watercress Line, said, "Wizard Week is one of our favourite times of the year, when our heritage railway is taken over by little witches, wizards and ghouls having a fang, oh dear, tasting time, from the slime making to casting spells. It's all about creating magic memories for families to enjoy together. Just don't be surprised if you bump into a wizard or two along the way."
Yes, I must say that all sounds rather good, doesn't it? I'd like to have a go at the slime making.
It's slime making.
Sounds delicious.
Okie doke. This article, 1,000 runners battle elements. Runners of all ages pulled on their trainers for the 27th Rotary Clarendon Marathon from Salisbury to Winchester. The mostly off-road race follows the ancient Clarendon Way, once used by pilgrims travelling between the two cathedral cities. The course is renowned for its steep climbs, including Farley Mount. Winchester Rotary President Mark Butcher, praising the organising committee led by J.J. Heath Caldwell and 200 volunteer marshals, said about the Farley Mount, "It's challenging even for the most seasoned marathon runners." Despite heavy rain and strong winds on Saturday, by the race on Sunday, October the 5th, conditions had improved. More than 1,000 runners took part across the full marathon, half marathon, relay and 5 mile events. The marathon started at Laverstock and Ford Sports Club, finishing at King's School, while the half marathon began at Broughton Village Hall. Winchester Running Club's Jamie Rendell won the marathon in 2 hours, 57 minutes and 30 seconds, while David Gaskell claimed victory in the half marathon in 1 hour, 25 minutes and 2 seconds, and Callum Maxwell the 5 mile race in 38:48. Not quite sure what that means. Fran Rawlings was the fastest female marathon runner, and Bitcoin Runners retained the relay trophy for the second year in a row. Marathon winner Jamie said, "I've had a great race today, one of the best organised marathons I've ever run, possibly the best. The course is beautiful." Marshals lined the route, handing out jelly babies, bananas and flapjacks to keep runners fuelled and spirits high. Among the youngest competitors were Maisie, 10, and Neve Bruce-Jones, 11, from Sutton Scotney, who teamed up with sisters Florence, 11, and Isla Hunt, 14, from South Wanston for the marathon relay. At the other end of the age spectrum, Keith Whittaker, 76, from Durley Runners, also competed in the relay. "I started running at 12 and just never stopped," said the retired salesman who ran the full marathon in 2018 at the age of 69. The Salisbury Marathon start was managed for the first time by City of Salisbury Athletics and Running Club. And just out of interest, there was a team of talking newspaper volunteers there who were manning one of the stations. We were some of the people handing out jelly babies and bananas. And we enjoyed that more than we would have if we'd been running it, I think.
Food bank donations. Aldi is reminding shoppers in Hampshire of the most essential items to donate to food banks via its in-store donation points as the colder months approach. A list of priority items has been created based on the demands of food banks, charities and community groups across the UK, including tinned food, cereals and cleaning products. The appeal comes as, according to community giving platform Neighbourly, the demand for food banks has increased by nearly 30% over the colder months. Luke Emery, National Sustainability Director at Aldi UK, said, "We know autumn and winter are busy periods for food banks and organisations like Neighbourly who support those in need across the UK. We're so grateful to all customers that have used our in-store donation points so far this year, and we hope this list of items will make it easy for shoppers pick those that are most needed over the colder months."
And this article is headed, "Swimmer raises thousands for charity." And underneath, a very nice picture of Kathy, who won the gold medal and three silvers at the Ice World Swimming Championships. A Winchester swimmer, diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, has raised more than £2,000 for charity. Winchester City Swimming Club's Kathy Munro was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer shortly after winning a gold medal and three silvers at the Ice World Swimming Championships. Kathy, who is part of the club's master's program, said swimming has been vital to her recovery. She said, "Swimming has kept me feeling more normal, and being part of Winchester Swimming Club has meant the world to me. It helps me stay strong, keeps my spirits high, and provides a vital outlet for my emotions." Despite her diagnosis, Kathy has raised more than £2,000 for Macmillan Cancer Support. She added, "Even at stage 3, I remain hopeful for a cure. The water is very healing for me. It envelops and soothes, allows me to focus, work hard, and enjoy the camaraderie afterwards."
Hundreds enter zebra run at zoo. Hundreds of runners endure drizzly weather at Marwell Zoo to raise money for endangered zebras in Africa. In total, 1,161 runners took on the scenic 10 kilometres course. The run began with a loop through Marwell Zoo before heading out onto the surrounding roads and finishing back in the zoo grounds. The event received endorsement from Prince William and underscoring its importance for wildlife conservation. Together they raised £5,609 for Marwell Wildlife Save Our Stripes appeal to protect the endangered Grevy zebras and restore their habitats in Kenya. Taking part in the race were a mix of people, ranging in experience. Whilst some took to the front of the pack competing for first place, others ran for fun and took in the scenery around them. Rob Taggart was the overall winner of the race, crossing the line in an impressive 33 minutes and 20 seconds.
New CEO appointed at Beacon Charity. A new chief executive has been appointed as a charity based in Winchester. The Winchester Beacon, which supports people experiencing homelessness, has welcomed Robin Kohler to the role. Ms. Kohler said, "I am honoured to join the Winchester Beacon. The organisation has an incredible legacy of compassion and impact. I look forward to working with staff, volunteers, partners and our wider community to ensure that people in and around Winchester experiencing homelessness have the support they need to rebuild their lives. Ms. Kohler brings a wealth of experience to the charity, having previously served as CEO of Citizens Advice Hampshire. Her background also includes leadership roles in education, with a focus on helping both adults and young people across services that support their development. The Winchester Beacon offers safe accommodation and tailored support to those in need. Her appointment is seen as a step towards strengthening the charity's mission of offering hope, stability, and a brighter future to those facing homelessness.
And this article is headed, New Birth Centre Opens Doors at City's Hospital. A new birth centre has opened at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Winchester Birth Centre provides midwife-led care for pregnant women who do not require medical care during labour. Although accessed via its own entrance, it is in close proximity to the obstetric unit within Florence Portal House. This means urgent obstetric or neonatal care can be quickly accessed if needed. The centre offers a less clinical environment with a birthing pool, ambient lighting, and ample space for movement and various aids to assist women in adopting different positions during labour. Wendy Randall, Director of Midwifery for Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, said, "We know how important it is for pregnant women and people to be able to choose a place of birth that meets their needs. Previously, we've not been able to offer women booked at Hampshire Hospitals the option of birthing in an alongside midwifery-led unit. So we're delighted to be increasing their choices for places of birth. This is a wonderful addition to our midwifery service for low-risk women. By choosing to birth in centres like this, women are more likely to have a straightforward vaginal birth, avoid medical interventions like forceps and cesarean births, and have a lower risk of heavy bleeding after the birth. Importantly, research has shown that it is as safe for babies to be born in a birth centre as it is to be born in the obstetric unit. We are delighted to support pregnant women to birth their babies in this new, calm environment, under the care of our dedicated birth centre midwives. The Winchester Birth Centre complements the obstetric units at Winchester and Basingstoke. It is available for all women who book at Hampshire Hospitals, as well as the freestanding Andover Birth Centre and options for home birth.
Quit Smoking Roadshow. A free roadshow is offering people expert advice on how to quit smoking for good. Smoke-Free Hampshire, the county's Stop Smoking Service, will launch a series of events this October as part of the national Stoptober campaign, starting in Aldershot on Sunday, October the 5th. The roadshows, so that was a few days ago, wasn't it? The roadshows will also visit Basingstoke, Winchester, Gosport and Eastleigh throughout the month to reach more people across the county. Liz West, head of service at Smoke Free Hampshire, said, "Quitting smoking doesn't have to be something you do alone. When you make it to 28 days smoke free, you're 5 times more likely to quit for good. And we are here to give you the best possible chance. Let's quit together this Stoptober." The events are part of Stoptober, the nationwide campaign that encourages people to take the first step towards a smoke-free life. Smoke-Free Hampshire, funded by Hampshire County Council, has helped more than 800 people across the county to quit smoking since April. The service offers free, expert guidance and support, with evidence showing that people are much more likely to succeed with professional help.
City car park set to trial new parcel delivery hub. A new parcel delivery hub will soon be installed at Frasgate car park as part of a 12-month trial. The hub, located in Winchester, will test the use of electric cargo bikes to complete local deliveries to homes and businesses, aiming to reduce congestion and improve air quality in the city centre. Parcels will be delivered to the hub by van and then transferred to the bikes for final distribution. The project is a partnership between Solent Transport, Winchester City Council and Decarbon Logistics Solutions, a Volofleet portfolio company. It forms part of the Department for Transport funded Solent Future Transport Zone programme. Councillor Kelsey Leoni, Cabinet Member for the Climate and Nature Emergency, said, "The Parcel Delivery Hub project is an exciting step toward making our air less polluted and our roads less congested, while still ensuring residents and businesses can efficiently receive deliveries. Trialling better ways of moving goods in the city centre is one of the ways in which we can go greener, faster, and help shape a healthier and more sustainable Winchester. Construction will begin on Tuesday, October the 7th, with the lower deck of Friarsgate car park closed for approximately 2 weeks during the build. The hub will use 14 parking spaces, leaving 58 spaces available for public use. The facility will include secure storage and charging stations for up to 10 electric cargo bikes, unloading areas for delivery vans and welfare facilities for staff. The University of Portsmouth will support the project by monitoring its environmental and operational benefits. The hub is expected to begin operations in November. The hub will not function as a parcel drop-off point for sending parcels. At the end of the trial, the hub will be removed and the car park will be returned to its original state. Lessons learned will be reported to the Department for Transport and used to inform how similar projects might be implemented in Winchester in future."
And this is entitled, "Commemoration Bench Proves Quite the Catch." A bench commemorating a meeting between the fathers of dry fly fishing has been unveiled in Winchester. The bench is located in the Weirs and marks the April 28, 1879 meeting in Winchester between Frederick M. Halford and George Selwyn Marriott, which led to the development of dry fly fishing. The bench was officially unveiled by supporters on Thursday, October the 2nd. They were joined by Joanna Halford, the great-great-granddaughter of F.M. Halford. She said, "I think it's rather magical that we're celebrating this meeting between Marriott and Halford." Marriott had all this knowledge that he shared with Halford. Halford tried to share the spotlight and asked Marriott to be co-author, but Marriott said no. Marriott was the brains behind it all. I would have really liked to have met him. "I think to have a bench for this meeting between these two men will shed light on this part of history. It is really down to the hard work of Mike Davis and the team that we have this bench here. Like fly fishing, it's all about patience and observations. I've studied trees, and one of my teachers said, it's all about observation. My family and I are thrilled that this bench has been placed in the Weirs." Mike Davis, who was one of the main drivers behind getting the bench erected, said, "I'm delighted that there is finally a memorial to Winchester's role in the history of fly fishing. I'm surprised there's not been a memorial to date for this meeting, which has led to the development of fly fishing and made Hampshire chalk streams world famous. Fly fishing is a peaceful, skillful sport where anglers use artificial flies to catch fish. It's often done in rivers or streams, requiring patience, precision, and an appreciation for nature. The rhythmic casting and quiet surroundingness make it both meditative and rewarding.
Hundreds of legal eagles step out to raise thousands for citizens' advice. Winchester's first sponsored legal walk has been raising funds for Citizens Advice Winchester District. On Thursday, October the 2nd at 4:45 p.m, a charity walk welcoming hundreds of legal professionals joined together to walk 10 kilometres from Winchester Combined Court, finishing at the Royal Oak. Organised by a local barrister and judge in conjunction with the London Legal Support Trust, all of the funds raised from the event will go directly to Citizens Advice Winchester, a non-profit organisation providing free legal advice for people around the Winchester area. Law firms, barristers' chambers, advice agencies, in-house legal departments and university law groups walk the route in unison, finishing at the local pub. Judge Angela Morris said, "We've raised £7,000 already, so I'm thrilled. I'm so proud because it's going to a fantastic cause, and it's great that local funds are going towards helping local people. Everyone in charge of organising it has been absolutely brilliant. It's the first, but hopefully there are many more to come." Court usher and one of the organisers of the walk, Dawn Woodcock, said, "I can't tell you how excited I am. It's been quite a lot of work, but definitely a labour of love, and I'm chuffed to see so many people. We hope it's an annual event. You can never raise enough money, especially for causes that don't get enough funding." The legal walk is the first in Winchester, but London Legal Support Trust organises walks across the UK to raise as much money as possible for the advice charities who are struggling to maintain services with the increased challenges created by the rising cost of living. Citizens Advice Winchester District, located on Colebrook Street, is made up of a workforce of more than 60 trained volunteers, and the charity relies on local grants and funding to deliver vital services to the local community.
Binding traditional skills. A bindery club has been praised for keeping traditional craft skills alive. Southern Bookcrafts Club, based in central Winchester, welcomed a visit from the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Sudhakar Ashwal, who toured the bindery on Friday, October the 3rd, and met members. The club has been promoting bookcraft for more than 30 years and offers equipment, materials and training to help people develop skills in bookbinding and related crafts. Councillor Ashwal said, "It was a wonderful experience to see the club's facilities and to learn more about the remarkable work being carried out there. Members of the club produce a wide variety of work, including leather-bound books, journals, boxes, slipcases, photo albums, and design-led books. The club is also known for its book repair and restoration services."
And this is entitled Fun, Fitness and Fundraising Day. Runners of all ages dashed across farmland for a day of fun, fitness and fundraising. the Boaz Fun Day and Trail Run returned on Saturday, September the 27th, at Hill Farm in Sutton Scotney, raising funds and awareness for the Boaz Project, a farm-based day service supporting adults with learning disabilities. Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Sudhakar Akhwal, was in attendance and praised the event, although he was disappointed not to join in. Councillor Akhwal said, "I have my running gear, but unfortunately I didn't pack my running shoes. It's nice to be here, though." He congratulated all the runners and said it was a joy to see so many smiling faces at the finish line, highlighting the fastest 10 kilometre time of the day. For those who preferred a gentler pace, resident donkeys Dave and Dominic led leisurely walks around the fields. The event also featured a silent disco, hay bale obstacle course, giant catapult, angry birds game, and stalls selling books, plants, cakes, sausages, and bird boxes. Stuart Palmer, general manager at Boaz, said, "Days like this capture what Boaz is all about, creating opportunities, breaking down barriers, building friendships, and fun." He said the event was a great way to reach new supporters and introduce them to the Boaz community. The event was supported by a number of local businesses, including River Coffee, Pole to Pole, Run Walk Support Shop, Curtin Farm Nursery, and Dibbles Estate Agents.
Family-run jeweller sparkles with 9 award nominations. A family-run jeweller is celebrating success after receiving 9 industry award nominations. Jeremy France Jewellers in Winchester has been recognised for both national and local honours in 2025, with 5 national jewellery award categories still to be announced later this year. Harriet France, director at Jeremy France Jewellers, said, "It has been wonderful to see so much recognition this year for everything we do. To be acknowledged both locally in the Winchester Bid Awards and nationally within the jewellery trade is just incredible. I am particularly proud of Victoria, who has been with the company for more than 25 years and is the beating heart of our team. I have everything crossed for her unsung hero nomination, but to us, she's already a winner." The jeweller has already been shortlisted for 3 Professional Jeweller Awards and 2 National Association of Jewellers Awards. These include Unsung Hero of the Year, that's Victoria Inchley, Jewellery Retailer of the Year, Independent Retailer of the Year, Marketing Campaign of the Year, and Retail Team of the Year.
An unforgettable audience with Pope. A cathedral leader has spoken of a truly unforgettable audience with Pope Leo XIV during a visit to the Vatican. Lucy Hole, Succentor at Winchester Cathedral, travelled to Rome for the Precentors Network annual conference, which brings together precentors and succentors from across England and Wales. The conference included an audience with the Pope at the Vatican. Ms. Hole said, "I was privileged to be in Rome recently for the Precentors Network annual conference. We were honoured during our visit to attend an audience with His Holiness Pope Leo XIV at the Vatican, a truly unforgettable experience." The conference focused on ecumenism and unity and included meetings with the Vatican's Dicastery for the promotion of Christian unity. Other highlights included a visit to the British ambassador to the Holy See, Evensong, and a forum at St Paul's within the walls. delegates also toured the Venerable English College, a Catholic seminary.
Zoo welcomes a first baby. Marwell Zoo has welcomed its first potoroo, Joey. The tiny southern long-nosed potoroo, a nocturnal marsupial from southeastern Australia, is thought to be around 3 months old. It was first spotted jumping in and out of first-time mum Truffle's pouch just days ago. Aram Selby, primates and small mammals keeper at Marwell, said, "We're so excited this is our first ever potoroo baby. We're unsure of its gender because we haven't seen it much yet, apart from jumping out to join in the feeds. It's been out of the pouch, running around having its own zoomies. It hops very quickly. You see it very fleetingly, and then it disappears into a hedge and runs back out. It will dive back into the pouch for the next month or so, and then it should be mostly out and able to see. It's very exciting news, and I can't wait to see it grow. For us at Marwell, it's a great opportunity to learn because we haven't had a baby potoroo here before, so we will get to see their parental roles. Mum Truffle and Dad Neville have built two lovely little nests out there, which they do hide them in. The Joey can be seen during the October half term as Marwell Zoo invites visitors to join its wild autumn event." That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to our copying, dispatch and memory stick teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Diana Brooks.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m.